welcome to the Friday, May 31st episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I'm Wayne Floyd, your host. The Faith Comes From Hearing podcast is a podcast that is dedicated to prayer, devotion, scripture reading, Bible study, and anything else I want to talk about. The Faith Comes From Hearing podcast is a humble member of the Christian podcast community. You can find us over at christianpodcastcommunity.org. There's a lot of great listening over there. Over 60 well-curated podcasts, wide variety of topic areas, all covered from a biblical worldview. My brothers and sisters in Christ over there doing some wonderful work for the kingdom. Again, I would encourage you to go on over there. It is definitely going to be worth your while. I will guarantee you're going to find something over there you want to listen to. And there's a really good chance you're going to find more over there to listen to than you actually have time to listen to it. All right. Well, let's see. I got a few things. So again, we still haven't gotten swapped over. They're supposed to be contacting me sometime this week about getting myself shifted over to where I'm going to be hosting at Christian Podcast Community. So I'll be back up in their RSS feed. But I'm probably going to be double posting. I will continue posting out at Anchor until that time comes around. So, you know, here's hoping. But I realize they're very, very busy. I also want to continue to remind you about our conference that we're going to have here at Vail Valley Baptist Church in August, August 8th, 9th, and 10th. It's Christian Responsibility in an Unchristian World. We definitely need this kind of guidance. And again, you can go right to our church website, vvb.church. Right there on the homepage will be a banner you can click. And it will take you over where you can register for the conference. It is definitely worth your money. You really cannot afford not to come to our conference. You need it. We all need it. Believe me, we all need it. I've already got my tickets. I would definitely encourage you. Actually, I bought them almost a month ago. You definitely want to be there. So please join us. I would ask you please to join us. I would beg you to join us. Because we need this. We as Christians need this, especially in this crazy world. Again, I'm actually recording this, obviously, Thursday afternoon, and already crazy stuff going on. And I'm not going to get into it because it gets very political, and I don't want to do that. But again, as crazy as this world is and as crazy as it's going to get, we need to know how to walk as Christians, what our responsibilities are in this unchristian world, and how better to do that than to be in the Word, be in prayer. But also these men of God who are going to be at this conference can definitely properly direct us. So, all right, well, let's go ahead and jump into our episode again. Still working on sermons and stuff like that, so it's still going to be just the Bible reading for the day. But let's go ahead and open up with the six-day morning prayer. It's called the Gospel. Let's pray. O Thou Most High, Creator of the ends of the earth, Governor of the universe, Judge of all men, Head of the Church, Savior of sinners, Thy greatness is unsearchable, Thy goodness infinite, Thy compassions unfailing, Thy providence boundless, Thy mercies ever new. We bless Thee for the words of salvation. How important, suitable, encouraging are the doctrines, promises, and invitations of the gospel of peace. We are lost, but in it Thou hast presented to us a full, free, and eternal salvation. Weak, but here we learn that help is found in one that is mighty. Poor, but in him we discover unsearchable riches. Blind, but we find he has treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We thank Thee for Thy unspeakable gift. Thy Son is our only refuge, foundation, hope, confidence. We depend upon His death, rest in His righteousness, desire to bear His image. May His glory fill our minds, His love reign in our affections, His cross inflame us with ardor. Let us as Christians fill our various situations in life, escape the snares to which they expose us, discharge the duties that arise from our circumstances, enjoy with moderation their advantages, improve with diligence their usefulness, and may every place and company we are in be benefited by us. Amen. All right, and our morning devotion for this morning from Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, the text for it is from 2 Samuel 15:23. The king also himself passed over the brook Kidron. David passed that gloomy brook when flying with his morning company from his traitor's son. The man after God's own heart was not exempt from trouble. Nay, his life was full of it. He was both the Lord's anointed and the Lord's afflicted. Why then should we expect to escape? At sorrow's gates, the noblest of our race have waited with ashes on their head. Wherefore then should we complain as though some strange thing has happened unto us? The King of Kings himself was not favored with a more cheerful Oroyal road. He passed over the filthy ditch of Kedron, through which the filth of Jerusalem flowed. God had one son without sin, but not a single child without the rod. It is a great joy to believe that Jesus has been tempted in all points like as we are. What is our Kedron this morning? Is it a faithless friend, a sad bereavement, a slanderous reproach, a dark foreboding? The King has passed over all these. Is it bodily pain, poverty, persecution, or contempt? Over each of these Kedrons, the King has gone before us. In all our afflictions, he was afflicted. The idea of strangeness in our trials must be banished at once and forever, for he who is the head of all saints knows by experience the grief which we think so peculiar. All the citizens of Zion must be free of the honorable company of mourners, of which the prince, Emmanuel, is head and captain. Notwithstanding the abasement of David, he yet returned in triumph to his city. And David's Lord arose victorious from the grave. Let us then be of good courage, for we also shall win the day. We shall yet with joy draw water out of the wells of salvation, though now for a season we have to pass by the noxious streams of sin and sorrow. Courage, soldiers of the cross! The King himself triumphed after going over Kedron, and so shall you. All right, hang on a minute. Need some water here. And our reading for the day is 1 Kings 4, Proverbs 1 and 2. So we're going to be picking up Proverbs here, Psalm 43, and Romans 9. So 1 Kings 4, hear the word of the Lord. So King Solomon was king over all Israel. These were his officials. Azariah the son of Zadok was the priest. Elihoreph and Ahijah the sons of Shisha were scribes. Jehoshaphat the son of Ahilud was the recorder. And Benaiah the son of Jehoiada was over the army. And Zadok and Abiathar were priests. And Azariah the son of Nathan was over the deputies. And Zabud the son of Nathan a priest was the king's friend. And Ahishar was over the household. And Adoniram the son of Abda was over the men subject to forced labor. Now Solomon had 12 deputies over all Israel, who sustained the king and his household. Each man had to sustain them for a month in the year. These are their names: Ben-Hur in the hill country of Ephraim, Ben-Decher in Makaz and Shalbim and Beth-Shemesh and Elon-Beth-Hanan, Ben-Hesed in Aruboth, Soko was his, and all the land of Hefer, Ben-Abinadab in all the height of Dor, Taphath, the daughter of Solomon, was his wife. Baana, the son of Ahilud, in Tanakh and Megiddo, and all Beth-Shean, which is beside Zarethan, below Jezreel, from Beth-Shean to Abel-Meholah, as far as the other side of Jokneam. Ben-Geber, Ben-Geber, in Ramoth-Gilead, now Havoth-Jair, Jair being the son of Manasseh, which is in Gilead, was his, the region of Argob, which is in Bashan, 60 great cities with walls and bronze bars were his. Abinadab, the son of Edo, in Mahanaim. Ahimaaz, in Naphtali, he also married Basemath, the daughter of Solomon. Baanah, the son of Hushai, in Asher and Bealoth. Jehoshaphat, the son of Parush, in Issachar. Shimi, the son of Ella, in Benjamin. Geber, the son of Uri, in the land of Gilead, the country of Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and he was the only deputy who was in the land. Judah and Israel were as numerous as the sand that is on the seashore in abundance. They were eating and drinking and being glad. Now Solomon ruled over all the kingdoms from the river to the land of the Philistines and to the border of Egypt. They brought tribute and served Solomon all the days of his life. And Solomon's provision for one day was 30 cores of fine silver and 60 cores of meal, 10 fat oxen, 20 pasture-fed oxen, 100 sheep besides deer, gazelle, roebucks, and fattened fowl. For he had dominion over everything west of the river, from Tifsa even to Gaza, over all the kings west of the river, and he had peace on all sides around about him. So Judah and Israel lived in security, every man under his vine and his fig tree, from Dan even to Beersheba, all the days of Solomon. Solomon had 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots and 12,000 horsemen. And these deputies sustained King Solomon and all who came to King Solomon's table each in his month. They left nothing lacking. They also brought barley and straw for the horses and swift steeds to the place where it should be, each according to the legal judgment for him. And God gave Solomon wisdom and very great discernment and breadth of understanding in his heart, like the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the sons of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. And he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, Heman, Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahal, and the renown of his name was in all the surrounding nations. I think that's Mahal, sorry. He also spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And he spoke of trees from the cedar that is in Lebanon, even to the hyssop that grows on the wall, maybe hyssop, that grows on the wall. He spoke also of animals and birds and creeping things and fish. And men came from all peoples to hear the wisdom of Solomon, from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom. All right, Proverbs 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and discipline, to understand the sayings of understanding. To receive discipline that leads to insight, righteousness, justice, and equity. To give prudence to the simple, to the youth knowledge and discretion. Let the wise man hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire guidance. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of knowledge. Ignorant fools despise wisdom and discipline. Hear, my son, your father's discipline, and do not abandon your mother's instructions, for they are a garland of grace for your head and ornaments about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not be willing. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, and whole as those who go down to the pit. We will find all kinds of precious wealth. We will fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot with us. We shall all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Withhold your feet from their pathway. For their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed blood. For it is no use that a net is spread in the sight of any bird. But they lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush their own lives. So are the paths of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. Wisdom shouts in the street. She gives forth her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy streets, she calls out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings. How long, O simple ones, will you love simplicity, and scoffers delight in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge? Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. And you neglected all my counsel and were not willing to accept my reproof. I will also laugh at your disaster. I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and your disaster comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me earnestly, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of Yahweh. They were not willing to accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. So they shall eat of the fruit of their way and be satisfied with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But he who listens to me shall dwell securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil. Proverbs 2. My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, to make your ear pay attention to wisdom, incline your heart to discernment. For if you call out for understanding, give your voice for discernment. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of Yahweh and find the knowledge of God. For Yahweh gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and discernment. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright, a shield to those who walk in integrity, to guard the paths of justice, and he keeps the way of his holy ones. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, and equity, every good track. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will keep you, discernment will guard you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who forsake the paths of uprightness. To walk in the ways of darkness, who are glad to do evil, and they rejoice in the perversity of evil, whose paths are crooked, and who are devious in their tracks, to deliver you from the strange woman, from the foreign woman who flatters with her words, who forsakes the close companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God, for her house sinks down to death and her tracks descend to the dead. All who go to her will not return, and they will not reach the paths of life, so that you will walk in the ways of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will dwell in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be torn away from it. Psalm 43. Give justice to me, O God, and plead my case against an unholy nation. O protect me from the deceitful and unrighteous man. For you are the God of my strength. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain and to your dwelling, and to your dwelling places. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and upon the lyre I shall praise you, O God my God. Why are you in despair, O my soul, and why are you disturbed within me? Wait for God, for I shall still praise him, the salvation of my presence and my God. Finally, Romans 9. I am telling the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience testifies with me in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ, for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom belongs the adoption as sons, and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the temple service and the promises, whose are the fathers, and from whom is the Christ according to the flesh, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. But it is not as though the word of God has failed, for they are not all Israel who are descended from Israel, nor are they all children because they are Abraham's seed. But through Isaac your seed will be named. That is, the children of the flesh are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are considered as seed. For this is the word of promise: at this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but there was Rebekah also, when she had conceived twins by one man, our father Isaac. For though the twins were not yet born, and had not done anything good or bad, so that the purpose of God according to his choice would stand, not because of works, but because of him who calls, it was said to her, "The older shall serve the younger," just as it is written, "Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated." What shall we say then? Is there any unrighteousness with God? May it never be. For he says to Moses, "I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion." So then it does not depend on the one who wills or the one who runs, but on God who has mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, "For this very purpose I raised you up, in order to demonstrate my power in you, and in order that my name might be proclaimed throughout the whole earth." So then he has mercy on whom he desires, and he hardens whom he desires. You will say to me then, "Why does he still find fault? For who resists his will?" On the contrary, who are you, O man, who answers back to God? Will the thing molded say to the molder, "Why did you make me like this?" Or does not the potter have authority over the clay to make from the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for dishonorable use? And what if God, wanting to demonstrate his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much patience vessels of wrath having been prepared for destruction? And in order that he might make known the riches of his glory upon vessels of mercy, which he prepared beforehand for glory, even us, whom he also called, not from among Jews only, but also from among Gentiles? As he says also in Hosea, "I will call those who were not my people, my people, and her who was not beloved, beloved. And it shall be that in the place where it was said to them, 'You are not my people,' there they shall be called sons of the living God." And Isaiah cried out concerning Israel, though the number of the sons of Israel be like the sand of the sea, it is the remnant that will be saved. For the Lord will execute his word on the land thoroughly and quickly, and just as Isaiah foretold, unless the Lord of Sabaoth had left to us a seed, we would have become like Sodom and would have resembled Gomorrah. What shall we say then? that Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness laid hold of righteousness, even the righteousness which is by faith? But Israel, pursuing a law of righteousness, did not attain that law. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as though it were by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone, just as it is written, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and the one who believes upon his will not be put to shame." All right, well, that is our reading for the day. Thank you for spending this time with me. Again, I continue to pray that this time together helps to keep us saturated. Again, that is how we understand our Christian responsibility in this unchristian world, is by being saturated in the Word of God and being in prayer constantly. So again, I continue to pray for you and to pray for me. But I hope you have yourself a wonderful day, a wonderful weekend. I would continue to implore you to do all that you do for the glory of God. I do want to say, I would encourage you, I would plead with you to worship with the saints this weekend. If for some reason you are physically unable, please join us for our live stream. It kicks off at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. You will find it on Facebook at Vail Valley Baptist Church and on Twitter at VVB Church. So again, we would love to have you. Obviously, we would prefer, especially if you're in this area and can physically do so, we would love to see you. We will find you a seat. We would love to have you there and be able to worship with you. But if you are physically unable, please join us on our live stream. We would love to have you there. But again, I hope you have yourself a wonderful weekend. All right, let's go ahead and close out with prayer. We're going to close out with the 6-day evening prayer. It's called the Mediator. Let's pray. O God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we hope in thy word. There we see thee not on a fearful throne of judgment, but on a throne of grace, waiting to be gracious and exalted in mercy. There we hear thee saying, "Not depart ye cursed, but look unto me and be ye saved. For I am God, and there is none else. They that know thy name put their trust in thee. How many now glorified in heaven, and what numbers living on earth are thy witnesses, O God, exemplifying in their recovery from the ruins of the fall, the freeness, riches, and efficacy of thy grace. All that were ever saved were saved by thee, and will through eternity exclaim, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and truth's sake. Thou hast chosen to transact all thy concerns with us through a mediator, in whom all fullness dwells, and who is exalted to be Prince and Savior. To him we look, on him we depend, through him we are justified. May we derive relief from his sufferings without ceasing to abhor sin, or to long after holiness. Feel the double efficacy of his blood, tranquilizing and cleansing our consciences. Delight in his service as well as in his sacrifice. Be constrained by his love to live not to ourselves but to him. Cherish a grateful and cheerful disposition, not murmuring and repining if our wishes are not indulged, or because some trials are blended with our enjoyments, but sensible of our desert and impressed with the number and greatness of thy benefits. May we bless and praise thee at all times. Amen. All right, again, I hope you have yourself a wonderful day, a wonderful weekend. Again, I would encourage you, I would beg you to worship with the saints, and I hope to see you Monday morning. Have a good day. God bless.